Lord, we thank you for your word that is the light for our lives, Lord, the guide for our path, Lord, and the blessing for our souls, Lord, and the comfort in times of trouble too. Lord, it's a rich store of blessings. So I just pray, Lord, for us all here as we share together. Lord, just minister among us and help us as we learn together from your amazing book. Lord, Holy Spirit, be our guide. Show us Jesus. Help us, Lord, to understand your ways and, Lord, to follow them. So we ask your blessing now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Lord willing, we'll try and look at both of these letters, the letter of 2 John and 3 John. They're only little short ones. They are, just to explain, one of the things about these letters is they're just long enough to fit on one sheet of papyrus each. Mm-hmm. And in those days, papyrus wasn't entirely cheap material, so I suppose he kept it short, as you'll say later on, so that he didn't have to cut out on some more paper, I suppose, but more good than that, of course. So let's read John, 2 John first, yeah? Just a little one. The elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we've had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you've worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. And whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. And anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings. Now then, a few puzzles to solve. Who is it from, and who is it to? Those are the two questions to answer to start with. It's from the elder. Now, who is the elder? John. We assume it's John, because he's an older man now. But also, the style of the letter. I mean, we've looked at 1 John already, and those themes about walking in his commands, loving one another, it's John through and through, isn't it? And the previous one. So the style's John, the name is the elder, and John calls himself the elder, because he's probably one of the last surviving apostles. And he's not only older, but he's one of the leaders as well. Yeah. So we've got John, more or less, tied down. Yeah. What about the chosen lady and her children? So the chosen lady. Who is the chosen lady? Well, the simple answer is we don't know. Yeah, because we haven't got a name. But there are two possibilities. I'll leave you to guess which I prefer, but the two possibilities are, it's some lady that he knows, a particular lady, she's well aware of who John is, and he's well aware of who she is, Christian lady, and he's writing to her. Yeah, that's one possibility. The other possibility is that he's using the term the chosen lady to refer to a church. It's code language, is what the suggestion is, yeah? Yeah? And to my mind, that fits better, really. I'm all for taking the Bible as literally as you can. I mean, that's important. You know, you don't just read into things the things you want to. But in this case, I think we're fairly justified in taking it that he's using code language. And one of the reasons for that may well be that he's living in dangerous times. And if this letter gets into the wrong hands, it could compromise a lot of people. Yeah, so, Christians have to do this today, don't they, in some parts of the world, you know. messages have to be in a form of code. That's why I don't know about the fish sign, was one of those code language words that Christians use, greeting by the fish. Yes, something fishy going on. And the word fish was ichthus. And it was a sort of a very early form of the Apostles' Creed in a way. Ichthus stands for Jesus Christ, Son of God and Saviour. Well, you can't get better than that in one word, can you? Each letter of the word ichthus, I for Jesus, the of God, Jesus, Son of God, you is for the Son, huios, right? And then, was it theo of God, Son of God, and S for Saviour. Right, so Jesus, Son of God and Saviour was the code word. And I think this letter is on the similar pattern. Yeah. So, to the chosen lady and her children. So, if the chosen lady is the church, who are the children? It's the believers, the members of the family. Yes, right, okay. Whom I love in the truth. Right, so this, my guess is, this could well be one of the churches that John had either founded or been responsible for pastoral care for or whatever. But here's these people, and he loves them in the truth. Right. He delights in their walking with all. And not only I, but all who know the truth. Right? Isn't that wonderful? If you know brothers and sisters in other parts of the world, if they're brothers and sisters, then you know, you love them, don't you? Right? Some more than others, perhaps. Yeah? But they're brothers and sisters. We still love them. Yeah? Right? Not only I, but all who know the truth. And that's you, guys. Right? You all know the truth. Yeah? And because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Yes, well, it's not just the knowledge of the facts, the information, but the truth has got a personal name as well. It's Jesus. And he's come to dwell within us. But this whole idea of this knowing God's love and grace. Yeah? So, John's writing to them. So, and then, thus is his greeting, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. So, grace, good word, wonderful word. Mercy, need mercy, and peace. Peace from God. God gives it, yeah? But he doesn't just say from God. He says from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. Remember, John is writing in a situation where the name of Jesus is being misused, and so he's making it quite clear, this Jesus is God's Son. Important to know that. So, he's saying that about Jesus, the Father's Son, and he will be, and they will be with us in truth and love. Isn't that wonderful? These wonderful gifts that he gives. Right, so that's his introduction. Now then, he's just got this to say. Yes, it's given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded. So what's happened? He's writing to this church, or this lady, to say, it gives me great joy, it's given me great joy, to find some of your children walking in the truth.
Some have gone away.
That's a possibility, some have gone away. I don't think that's what the case is. I think he's bumped into a few of the saints. You know, they were out on a visit somewhere, and he's met them, and he says, great to see you guys, how are you going on? Oh, wonderful, going on with the Lord. And so I don't think he's criticising those back at home, as it were. I think he's met some of these people, and he's saying, it gave me great joy to meet up with these guys who are going on with the Lord. Yeah. That's my guess. Yeah. Right. They're walking in the truth just as the Father commanded us. So that's a wonderful phrase from John. Father commands us to walk in the truth. To walk in the truth means, strange phrase, isn't it? When did you last walk in the truth?
Is that during
Henry's
suffering that he died?
Well, not really. What's he going on? To walk in the truth.
Following the way to truth.
What's another word for walk? What's he getting at? To follow. To live.
Yeah.
To live is what it's really at, yeah? Those who are living it. Yeah? Living according to the way that God's given us the truth, yeah? Right. So to walk in the truth, it's a Hebrew way of thinking. They talk about walking in things, and it means to live it, which is a very practical way. They're not talking about theory, they're talking about reality. To walk in the truth means you live it.
Reminds me of that song, Walk in the Light.
Walk in the Light, that's where it's come from, same idea, yeah? Right. Another phrase from John, he's in John's ledger, walking in the light, yeah? So, we're walking in the truth, good, as the Father commanded it. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we've had from the beginning, right? When was the beginning?
Jesus.
When the gospel began to take ground, when Jesus gave the command, yeah? I'm giving you a new command, it's a new one, but it's not a new one, yeah? We've had it from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. He keeps saying that, doesn't he? Why is it that he keeps having to tell Christians to love one another? Because they don't.
No? We know we're all made so differently.
He knows we're all made so differently. But I think there's something else going on. It's just a thought in my mind. It's this. For us, it's a cold world out there, brothers and sisters. If you don't love one another in here, then you won't find much of it out there. Yeah? It's a cold, hard world. For these believers, they were facing serious problems coming up, yeah? And so he says, look, this is where your support base is, right, really, you know. God's given us a family to love one another, to help us and keep us standing, yeah? So that's what he wants, yeah? Love one another. And this is love. So he's got a definition. It's the reverse of the one he gave in the first letter, right? Oh, just to say, by the way, these are letters. Yeah, these two. Where what the previous one wasn't a letter, it was a sort of an essay. Yeah? 1 John is an essay. It's not sent to anybody, it's given to everybody in a sense, yeah? But this is actually sent to a particular location, to the lady, wherever that is, yeah? Right, so this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. So this is love. What's the definition of love? In this verse here, the definition of love, how you know it's real, is you do what he says. Right, yeah? Right? And John, in his letter, or in the essay earlier on, would say, in the other way around, this is what love's about. If you really love him, you'll do what he says. Right? Whereas the other way, now he's saying, you do what he says, shows you love him. It's the same thing, just putting it in a different way around, yeah? Okay, as you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. So you've got it in stereo now. Right? Twice he's told us. Now, the reason he tells us that is, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Many deceivers. What's happening?
People are straying.
They're going off the tracks, yes? And it's because of this influence of the false teaching that's around, right? And so many deceivers, they're out to trick you, yeah? Watch out what people say and what they don't say as well, I'd suggest as well. Yeah, but many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, what was the particular doctrine they're denying there? Yeah, but I mean, what particular teaching? You know, we're just some. We believe in God the Father, the Savior, that you know.
The Son, Jesus, the Son.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're also denying that he's really a man. Yeah, they're saying he sort of appeared. The term is doceticism. Sorry about that. Yeah, you knew that all along, didn't you? Doceticism comes from the word meaning to seem or to appear. Jesus just seemed like the Messiah, the Son of God. He only seemed human. Yeah. He wasn't really human, yeah? Okay, so that's what the denial is about. Why did they do that? Why particularly was that one around? That particular doctrine of denying that Jesus had come in the flesh.
You're undermining him.
Yeah, well, they are undermining him, but it's a Greek problem. What's the problem with the Greeks? Can you tell me? They've got plenty of problems. But...
it's always teaching about the body and the mind and that kind of thing.
They were teaching about the mind, yes, and the mind was the thing, right? The thinker, you know, the statue of the thinker. What's the problem with the body?
Well, they regard it as almost like sin.
Yes, yeah. They had a low view of the body, yeah? It was a piece of junk that your mind was stuck in, basically, and when you got rid of it, all to the good, right? That's the Greek thinking. So they could not, for the moment, imagine that God would take a body. You know, it's just not on, right? That's the problem with their Greek thinking. The difference between the Greek thinking and the Hebrew thinking is the body is a temple for God to work in and through us. Yeah, it's a gift from God. So completely different view altogether. Yeah, but they're in the Greek territory now. Yeah, this is a long time after Jesus has gone back to glory. Yeah, John's getting an old man. People are beginning. The Gentiles are beginning to come in. Great. But they come in with the garbage and the junk that they carry with them, and these sort of preconceived ideas. So that's the problem. So those deceivers are denying that Jesus has come in the flesh, right? And such a person is the deceiver and the antichrist. They've denied that many have gone out into the world. What does he mean? Many deceivers have gone out into the world. They've gone back to their ways, that's possibly the case. I think it does mean they've gone out of the churches and they've gone off into the secular society, or the godless pagan society. But also they're spreading around. Yeah? There's more of them about, so you've got to be watching. Any such person, so there's lots of them, it's not just one, is the deceiver and the antichrist. They take on the character of the antichrist. Yeah? They're not the antichrist, but they've got the character of the antichrist. Opposing Jesus, substituting for Jesus, right? So that's what we've talked about the Antichrist before, haven't we? Yeah? Jesus says, many false Christs will come in my name, pretending to be him. Yeah? Right. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out. That you do not lose what you've worked for, that you may be fully rewarded. Right? What's he on about? What have you fully worked for? For the rewards. To get home, to be with the Lord. He says, watch out that they don't steal what you've worked for. Right? Well, there you are. Make sure you're storing your treasure in heaven and don't let some nasty little thieves come along and trip you up while you're at it, yeah? So, then, this little bit. Anyone who runs ahead... Oh, well, just to say, you're going to be fully rewarded. What does it mean? Anybody know what being fully rewarded means? Got a place in heaven, eternal life. Yeah? Right. There are future rewards. But I can honestly say, sorry.
The judgment coming from him will be distributed gifts, the Lord and rewards to those.
To those who faithfully served him, and yes, yeah. It's hard to imagine how it's all going to work out, really. But he gives us some clues, but he doesn't tell us everything. I've got a really firm promise for you. Heaven's going to be better than you know it is. Yeah? Got to be, isn't it? Because God's doing it, and eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Yeah? So, you're going to be rewarded fully as you seek to follow him faithfully. So, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. To run ahead, what's running ahead? I thought you joggers were good at this.
Going off
the tracks. Yes, that's what it is. Yes, running ahead means that they think they're smarter than these Christian guys, the ordinary Joe blogs in the fellowship, yeah? Right? So they're running ahead. We're the superior people. He says, anybody who runs ahead doesn't have God, right? So don't be too smart on that one. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Isn't that wonderful? If you have the teaching, you've got the Father and the Son. If you don't have the teaching, you don't have God. What's that saying about the Father and the Son? They're one. Yes. Right. Yes. So, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house and welcome him. Now, how about that? What does he mean? Anyone who's teaching false truth, falsehood, who's teaching heresy, he says, don't welcome him into your house. What's that mean? Tell him to get lost. What does he mean by welcoming into your house?
Don't get involved in it.
Don't
be teaching that in the house.
Don't get involved.
Like today when you have the people come around your house, don't they? Various people. And they want to impress upon their gospel.
Right.
But
can you invite them in?
No.
You think not?
No.
Right.
I will give my testimony.
Yes.
And the floor.
Right.
But I think that you have to be extremely careful. Because it's a lot of things, a bit like sin. it may appear like a little acorn that can grow inside you.
Yes, that can, yes. You've got to watch, yes. I don't think he's talking about your physical home.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. In the church. I think that's what he's saying. It's a lady we're talking about. It's her children. Her house is where the church meets. I'd like to, that's my suggestion. I mean, you could take what you're saying literally as well, but my suggestion is, what he's saying is, if these false teachers come along, don't give them the pulpit. Do not let them have one word in the church, right? I can welcome sinners in, but they're not going to get a chance to start spouting forth their false ideas to everybody else. And that's really what he's getting at. That's my feeling anyway. And so, if I get some cult person coming to my door, and I'm already dressed and I'm feeling in a good mood, I might ask them in and grill them for an hour. Yeah?
Okay.
Right? But you need to beware, like you say, you need to beware, because they're not coming with the right stuff. Yeah? But they need to know about Jesus too. Yeah?
Didn't they able to come and ban them from your house?
Yes, oh yes, well yes, that's happened, yeah. We're on the miss list, yeah. Never mind, such is life, yes. Yes, we had a couple of Mormon guys, they came and I invited them back the following week. I said, I'll look through your Bible and see if it doesn't match up with what my Bible teaches. So I produced this long list of things, you know. And the following week, the leader came along. He says, I'm sorry, we can't continue this. Because he knew they had grilled, I suppose. Yeah. But anyway.
I went one and locked the road, and I said, he was telling me about Christ. And I said, well, you can go and see Dennis.
Go and see Dennis. Not in. All right, yes. No, but what I'm getting at is, we are not to entertain heresy. Right? And he's saying that is, if these people come along, you see, there were what we call the travelling evangelists type people, and these have cottoned onto this. This is a good way to get into places and into homes, because churches met in homes, of course. Right? And I think he's really saying is, don't give them house room in your church. Yeah? Right? And he says, what else? Do not take them into your house or welcome him. Right? So you're not giving them an opening for them to be able to start saying the stuff they do, right? Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. And again, I'm really saying is, you're not supporting what they're up to. It's an important line to draw. I mean, the cult people take this really literally and rather nastily. If you don't agree with them, they'll chuck you out or something like that. I don't think that's really what it's about. You know, we're to show grace to people, but we're not to accept their teachings. That's how I understand it anyway. You can be as literal as you wish on this one. As I say, that's how I'm taking it anyway. Right.
Yes, I just want to come back to me is that this is the importance that we know and are grounded in God's Word.
Mm.
Because they come with plausible ideas
that sound
good.
That's right.
Again,
yes.
As soon as we are thinking.
Yes. In fact, Jesus did warn us, didn't he? He said they've become these false Christs, the Antichrist. He says that could deceive the elect. If that were possible. Well, there's a lot of good Christian people who've been taken in by some of these weirdos. You know? So, beware. Yeah. Ask God to... If it doesn't sound right, if there's something that doesn't ring right in your mind, you'll be very, very suspicious. That's all I can say.
I think some of the things, when they say what they believe from the Bible, you can see how it can be... How they've misinterpreted it.
Yes.
Yeah. And that has at times, I mean, I've sat on my bed with versions of like Jehovah's Witnesses and I've asked them questions, why don't you believe this? Why don't you believe that? And they've said, because it says blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So I've written down the passage of what they've quoted me and then gone and sat there on the bed looking at my different versions of the Bible and thinking, I can actually see where they're coming from.
Yeah. Essentially, just say, John has really put the focus here for us.
Yeah.
Mm. What is the one thing they go for? It's who Jesus is and what he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they don't get that right, they could have all the theology in the world. I mean, I've met and I've spoken to, for example, cult members who will completely agree with me in terms of the creation. We believe in a creator, we don't believe in evolutionary ideas and so on. Quite happy to agree with them on that. Yeah? But you get talking about who Jesus is, and we're completely different, of course. And that's what John's focusing on, because that's where salvation lies. You can believe all the other stuff and still not get it. Yeah, because salvation is in Jesus, and that's the place that they attack. Yeah? Right.
If you don't correct him, you accept him.
Well, that's what he's saying then. If you welcome him, you're sharing his wicked work, right? Right? You're encouraging them, right?
I do think more and more, though, when it comes to the joys of prayer, I hope I've learned that, you know, I know certain factors, and about, you know, having the testimony, you can sound arrogant, but I think pray more and more, and they'll say something, and, you know, the Holy Spirit allows it, and they recognise it.
Please let the Holy Spirit
guide. You know, and I find that more and more valuable all the time. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, I've got in my hall, you know, about, you know, the Lord loving us, and little things. Yeah. And, you know, I feel as though it's important to...
Yes.
Get, I always feel as though it's important to... keep, you know, that you can't... You can only feel humble.
Yeah.
And, you know, that we've got to keep seeking. And all I can say is I think... I'm sure I've found and around this, and that is my anchor.
Yeah.
The thing that you haven't, but... Yeah. I think that what I would say is keep seeking.
And the important thing to remember is whenever we're seeking to share the gospel with anybody, please remember it's the revelation of God that makes it different. You can tell them, I mean, Jesus spoke to the crowds, and it wasn't that many that believed, and it wasn't because Jesus didn't tell it right. It's that God's light needs to get in there somehow. Yeah. So that's really important.
He said not everyone will get there, then.
Yeah. So, yes, we're to be gracious. I just remember one, this many years ago, a couple, Sunday morning, had come to our door and up to our door. His first words were, "What do you think to the kingdom of God?" And it was, "What? Fantastic!" And he sort of set back. So, anyway, there you go. Anyway. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. In this instance, he's talking about the papyrus type of paper, yes? And the ink is the sort of soot mixed with other stuff that they use, yeah? Of course, John's writing about the old technology. You don't use that nowadays,
do
you?
Right now, do
we? Yeah? Don't write very much. We certainly don't use ink pots and pens and things like that, yeah? But that's what he's... I'm so glad that God used the old technology. Do you know why?
We wouldn't have it
otherwise. Yes, when you pull the plug out, it could disappear.
Yeah,
from the memory, but it won't disappear off the page. So God's made sure that we've got it in black and white. Praise the Lord. So he said, "I want to write to you, but I don't want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face." The phrase that he uses there is not literally face to face, it's mouth to mouth. Yes. There's a different phrase used when God spoke to Moses. He says, God communed with Moses as a friend face to face. And that meant literally face to face. But John's using a different phrase here, mouth to mouth. Yeah? I want to talk with you, in other words. Right? It's good to talk. Yeah? To share fellowship, encourage one another, talk about the things of the Lord. Yes?
Yeah, but I should think if he was getting older, he was getting a bit, well, he was probably having his stride, but... You know, these things get more difficult.
That's one thing I read in the commentary about that. That John will probably be happier talking than doing a lot of writing.
Yeah.
As we get older, don't we, Jean? As we get older, writing's a bit more of a problem for us.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
So, instead, I hope to visit you talk to face. And then, last little bit, so that our joy may be complete. Right? He's saying our fellowship can grow and we can deepen our love for the Lord and for each other. There's a lovely verse at the end of the Old Testament, our Old Testament way anyway, at Malachi. It talks about the group of people. Just let me read it to you. It's in Malachi, the last little bit in Malachi. It says, if I can find it, verse 16 of chapter 3, "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard." So he's listening to your conversations. How about that? Yeah? "A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honoured him. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession." Yeah? They will be mine. That will be. So, you know, God delights in his children talking about the things of God. So that's what John wants to do. Right? Writing's okay, and I'm glad he wrote as what he did, but there's always more.
to the, yeah. the lady.
Yeah.
Could it be that perhaps he was, some things were better said rather than written down?
Yes.
He might have got.
Quite obvious, though, yes. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Don't put it in writing. Yeah. Don't send an email, whatever you do. It's out there, it'll stay out there. Yeah. Talk, yeah. Okay, and the last little bit then. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings.
Is that his church?
I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
A chosen sister is, next to the chosen lady, it's this, another church sending greetings to their church.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the children who send the greetings, because believers are the ones that do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. So I think that's what the code is there.
There is a certain amount as well about face to face, you know, how you are, your demeanour and expression and everything, can't it? It's,
there's more communication than just the sounds.
You know, it's, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. That's good. Right, so that's 2 John. He's written to this particular church to encourage them to watch out for the dangers. Yeah, right, that's good. So then to John, 3 John, right, we'll just have a look at this one. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health, and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some of the brothers come and tell me about your faithfulness to the truth, and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so, and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. We have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. Right, another little letter. Right? But this letter is different than the previous letter. This is a personal letter to an individual. Because we know he's an individual. It's Gaius. He's talking about individual people. Not a church, but individuals, right? But it's still the same, the elder who's writing. And still the style, as you read these things, you think, it's the same guy that's writing. Yeah? He uses little phrases that come up time and again. It's John, right? So the elder's writing to a dear friend, my dear friend, Gaius. Right? Now, who's Gaius? Well, we don't know. Paul had companions called Gaius, it may be him. But Gaius was the most common name of that day, I believe. Right? Yeah. So could be any one of a thousand Gaiuses, for all I know. But he's a Gaius who knows Jesus. So he's your brother, right? And he says, my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. It's interesting that John expresses his love. He's not British, is he? Yeah? Yeah? He says, you know, I love you guys in the truth, yeah? There's an openness, a freshness about expressing our affection for one another, yeah? You know, I love you guys.
Women
I
do, but men don't.
Men don't, no.
Particularly
Yorkshiremen didn't, anyway.
If you write to somebody, quite sincerely, with knowing the Lord, and
yes,
it?
Yes.
Yeah, but men
wouldn't do that very often.
I'm
learning to do it. I'm softening up. How about that? As I get older. Softer in the head or something, yes. Right, okay. So, he's expressing his affection for this lad, yeah? He'll be a younger man as well, I guess, yeah? Maybe one of his disciples. You never know. Yeah. Dear friend, again that lovely word, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. So what's that mean?
Not being well.
That's a possibility. That's a possibility. Mind had not been well, and so he's praying. He helps it. He's praying for him to get better.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. It may be just that he's praying that he's doing okay anyway, right? Yeah. Yeah. But it does tell us something about what John believes, what he believes that God wants for you. He wants you to be well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Physically, he's talking about here. It's not because he says, "I pray your body's as good as your soul."
Yeah.
That's what he's saying, isn't it? Really. So it's nice, eh?
Yeah.
So you're allowed to pray for people who aren't well.
Yeah.
Good verse to you.
I
pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you. All may go, what's it mean, all may go well?
You get better and you'll be well.
Well, I don't think he's just talking about the physical side there. I think he's talking about prosperity. How about that? Oh dear me, well, you have to watch that one, won't you? You will prosper. You will prosper, yes. When he says prosper, he doesn't mean to say that you're going to have 10 million in the bank or anything else like that, you know. But he's saying is that all things work out for you, right? God's providence is shining on you in that sense, yeah? Right? So, you're allowed to be blessed. Do you recognize you're blessed at times? Thank God for his blessings. That's what he's saying. So, I pray that you really get blessed, yeah? And that even as your soul is getting along well, and he's saying is, spiritually, I know you're doing great. And I just hope that's as good for you in every realm of your life, yeah? Right. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell me about your faithfulness to the truth. So what's happened? Yeah. Now what's happened is a group of believers, brothers, yeah, in the Lord, have turned up at John's house, or met with John somewhere, and he says, how's Gaius doing? They say, oh, brother, you ought to see, he's doing so well, he's our Gaius. And he says, so it gave me great joy to hear that some of the brothers came and tell me about your faithfulness to the truth, saying he's standing for Jesus. Brilliant, eh? Mm-hmm. And how you continue to walk in the truth.
Truth, right?
He goes off to a good start, and he's keeping it up. He's walking in the truth. He's living it, yeah? So, and then he says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Yes?
Yeah.
We've heard that line before, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? But I think he's applying it to Gaius. I suspect Gaius is one of his children.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yes.
You think he's one of his
children? I think he's one of his lads, yes, that he brought to Jesus.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I've got no greater joy than to hear someone I led to the Lord is going on with
me. Yeah. And we've got the tithing again here. Because there's the first thing, truth. There's four truths.
There's lots of truth. Yeah, John likes the truth. Because he knows the one who is the truth. Yeah. And truth's important. You can't have relationships without truth. People who lie, you've got problems having relationships with them. You don't know where you stand or anything. You're dealing with honest truth. Yeah. So, dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. Well, what particular brothers is he talking about now? The visiting speakers. Yeah. Not just these guys, like they know him, but there's visiting speakers coming around. They're missionaries. In the early days, you know, they went out two by two. Right? Well, in the early church, there were people who devoted themselves to going out as missionaries. That's what we call them now, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? And he says, you're faithful in brother, what you're doing for the missionaries, though they're strangers to you. So they've turned up, he didn't know them from Adam, you could say, but he knows that they're believers, he can see that. And what's he done for them?
They're really thrilled with him, aren't they?
He's welcomed them in,
yeah.
And he's provided for them,
yeah.
And he's given them opportunities, I suspect, to share with other brothers and sisters of God's goodness, yeah? Right, so, he says, they have told the church about your love, right? Right? These missionaries have come back and spoken to John and said, hey, you know, that guy, he really did us proud.
Yeah.
He welcomed us in, he showed us such kindness, and he did great. Yeah? So there's some feedback that John's heard, right? Yeah? Yeah. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. What does that mean?
When they go say goodbye.
When they say goodbye, say, bless you, brother. See you sometime. I think it means more than that.
Help them out.
Yes. They're not coming with anything. They're not going with anything, John says. He says, make sure that you help them. Provide for their needs.
perhaps give them a donation or something like that, to help them continue this work of spreading the good news, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. So basically John's saying is, we ought to support missionaries.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
We ought to, like Gaius, support the missionaries. They're doing the frontline job, we should be backing them up.
Right.
So, you do well to do that. It was for the sake of the name that they went out. Now, what does he mean by that?
They went out preaching.
They went out preaching. What does he mean for the sake of the name? It's for Jesus, right? The lovely use of the word the name, I don't suppose many of you were, but if you read any Jewish literature, they don't use the name of God. They say, Hashem did this, and Hashem did that. And it means the name, right? Yeah, that's what they say. So they say about the name. It's the holy name of God. So it's for God that they went out, yeah? So they went out for the sake of the name, right? Receiving no help from the pagans, right? So they weren't asking the world to support them. Yeah? Because it would compromise their message. Paul did that. He says, he did more than that. He didn't receive any help from the churches either. The local ones, he worked with his own hands, yeah? He says, because I want you to get this message, I'm not in it for the money, and I'm not in it to get out of you. I'm here to give.
Yeah.
Right, so, but he says, you know, the work, Jesus says, the work is worthy of his hire. Right, so, he's saying is that they went out with no help from the pagans, so, we ought, therefore, to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. So, how's your hospitality rating? Alright. Yeah, well, some are more hospitable. Gene, my Gene's much more hospitable than I am. but it's basically, we as I say, it's mission support is what he's on about. Yeah? And if they turn up, treat them well. Yeah? Honour them for the work that they're seeking to do for the Lord. Yeah. Right. Okay, I wrote to the church. Right? John's written a letter to the church. But Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. I wonder if the church got the letter. Because Diotrephes is one of the leaders, I suspect.
Aye.
Yes? Diotrephes got the letter. He read it. He thought, oh dear, I'm not having this. Yeah? Yeah? Diotrephes, who loves to be first. What's his problem?
Ego.
Right? Ego. Pride. He's got a big head. Right? He wants to be top dog. Right? Not good, is it? I'm afraid to say Diotrephes is still well and alive in some places in the world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. You get a little crowd together and somebody wants to be a little Hitler. Not good, is it? Right? But Diotrephes is in the church, this guy. See, beware, brothers and sisters, for all of us, you know. If you have positions of responsibility, don't let it go to your head. Right? You're here, we're here as servants. Right? So, Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with this. Yeah. He's cutting us off. Why is he cutting them off?
Because they're not letting him be number one.
Yeah, and also he wants to sort of draw people away so he can set up his own little kingdom.
Yeah.
I suspect he's wanting to start his own church.
Yeah.
That's what it will be. Yeah. That happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All the time, yeah? Mm. Start my own church. I can't put up with this lot. I'll start my own one.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why it's so many churches.
That's maybe how we started. I don't know. But anyway, there we are. You have to live with where we are, don't we? Right. Anyway, no, it's not entirely true. This church was formed, sadly, as a youth group because there was concern for the youth of a particular church, I'm sorry to say, in town, where the leadership was into the Masons and not teaching some very good stuff. So it started as a youth group, and then they invited me to come along. And everything went downhill from then on. Anyway, there we are. So, Diotrephes loves to be first. We'll have nothing. So, if I come, I will call attention to what he's doing. John's going to come and sort him out, he says, if I turn up. I will call attention to what he's doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Isn't that interesting? You know, when people want to form kingdoms, what they do is they always try to undermine those who are a threat. Yeah? Start spreading the lies, the rumour machine, you know. Undermine people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he was doing. Yeah. So, gossiping maliciously about it. So, no malicious gossip, please. Right. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. Now, what's happening is these missionaries are coming along and they want to share in the church, and Diotrephes says, on your bikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want you here. Mm. Right. Why?
Just in case they take his place.
They take his place, yeah. Yeah, they might take the shine off him, you know. He wants all the glory, so he doesn't want anybody else getting any praise. Mm. Yeah. It's very sad, isn't it? Mm. Yeah, but there you are. Such people exist. Right. He refuses to walk in the brothers, and he even stops those who do what want to do so and puts them out of the church. So there's some, in this church, there are some people saying, hey, he's a great guy, let's invite him. And he comes along and they offer to put him up. And Diotrephes says, I hear you have so-and-so at your home. You're out. So he says, puts them out of the church. Not good, eh?
No,
oh, dear. And that was sad, because he's trying to excommunicate them, we call it, yeah? Well, dear, right, yeah. Dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. So don't imitate Diotrephes. Yeah? Do what is good. Right, that's the thing. Right? Anyone who does what is good is from God. And we're back to this again, aren't we? Yeah? The tests of why we belong to the Lord is we do the right thing. Yeah? Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Notice what John does. He doesn't do the... How can I explain it? Yeah? He doesn't just have exact opposites. He always moves on a bit. So if you were going to read, he says, anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil isn't from God. Would be the opposite, wouldn't it? Yeah? But he doesn't say that isn't from God. He goes further. He says he hasn't even seen God. Right? Yeah. John does that all the time. He sort of says something, turns it round, but moves on a bit. So he's done it here. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. What does he mean, not seen God? Nobody's seen God.
Doesn't know.
Exactly. There's no relationship whatsoever. Yeah, that's what he's getting at. Yeah. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. Yeah. Well, notice what he's just done. He's changed subject, but he hasn't. Yeah. He's saying those who do evil, like Diotrephes, don't imitate them. Right? If you do good, you do what God wants, right? And then he says, by the way, Demetrius, he's one of them good doers. And so he's linked it up like that. Demetrius is a good guy. Right? Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. Well, I didn't think the truth spoke about people, did it? What does he mean?
It talks to itself.
Yeah. His life testifies to his truth that he believes in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the doctrine of our faith shows this man to be a good lad, yeah? Right. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. Who's the we? Yes, it's John, and maybe other leaders as well. Say, this guy's a good lad. Yeah? Nice to have people say nice things about you when it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah. We speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. He's saying, you've known us long enough, we are God's servants, and we're saying this is the genuine article. Yeah? So, right. And then last of all, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. Well, he's changed it from paper and ink to pen and ink. But he's still writing, though. Right. Of course, the pen is one of those things you dip in ink, you know. You remember those in the old days?
Yeah.
Some of us do.
A scroll
with inkwell. Yeah, that's what they use.
Used to be in the desk, didn't it?
Yes. Well, unless we threw them at people. They're really good darts, you know.
I used to say, I used to catch that small.
Anyway, yes, ill spent youth, I know. Right, okay, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk mouth to mouth, face to face. So, again, as we've said in the previous one, it's he wants to see them and talk things. And lastly, peace to you. Right, to who? To Gaius, I would think. But the way to check it out, and I haven't done this, perhaps I should have done this, you can tell the difference in Greek and probably in the King James. What does he say? I've said about the King James here. What does he say? Peace to?
You.
You. So it's plural.
To thee.
To thee. Did he say thee?
It could be singular as well, because the you, but there is your pattern was ye, but the ye and black barren.
No.
Yeah.
It'd be peace to thee, or peace to ye, or you.
The new
I don't want the new one, I want the old one. What is it?
The old one.
And it says?
Peace to thee.
Thee, singular. Right. Right, so he says, yes, it's singular. Peace to thee means?
To
Who's the thief? Yes. Gaius. Right, okay. So he's writing personally to Gaius. Peace to Gaius. And then he says, the friends here send their greetings. Who are the friends? They're believers there, but I'd like to suggest, because it's a personal letter, it's personal friends who know it. Yeah? Right? This is much more sort of closed letter, yeah? Right? Yeah? So the friends here, your friends here, send their greetings. Right? And he says, greet the friends there by name.
Oh, they know.
Right? So it's a personal thing. He says, don't just say, John says, hi everybody! What he says, what you're going to do is go along to him and say, hey Mark, John says, I remember you, praying for you. And then, John says, I'm remembering you as well. So it's personal, yeah?
Yeah.
Lovely. So John, who's this great apostle, yeah, the last apostle, such a humble man and a warm man. He loves people because he found God's love himself. Okay? So we conclude, dear John, what shall we do next time? I think we ought to try Jude.
Yeah.
All right, oh well. See how Jude goes then, yeah? Hey Jude. That's interesting. Yeah, okay, let's pray then. Now give me some work. Jude, there's some interesting questions about Jude. Lots of interesting questions about Jude, but we'll get there. Let's pray, then. Thank you, Lord, for this dear, dear man, John, that we're going to meet one day, Lord. Thank you for his love for the disciples, that you cared about them and that you wanted to see them keeping on the right road, Lord. Thank you for his concern that those who are spreading the lies should, Lord, be kept out of the way. Thank you for his love for mission, wanting to see people getting to know Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for all that he's shown us here. Help us, Lord, to be people who are, Lord, holding on to the truth, walking in it, living it, Lord. And, Lord, just being able to share together in fellowship, Lord, face to face. Lord, these things that he values, Lord, may we value too. And thank you, Lord, that you love us. You've been so good to us. We're part of the family. Lord, we can say the friends here send their greetings, Lord, because we're part of the family. So we just bless you, Lord, and thank you for our brothers that we've read about here and for the churches that you brought into existence, Lord, long, long ago. And Lord, thank you, the gospel's still going out and the name of Jesus has been spread abroad. We thank you for that, Lord, and pray that we may hold on to that. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Jesus was born. He lived, died, and rose again. What a Saviour. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.